bit awkward to interrupt that, doesn't it? That's good. Thanks, guys. Middle of November. I remember when we started at the start of the year of, let's take all year to go through three chapters of Scripture, the Sermon on the Mount. And we're nearly there. We are at probably the back end of chapter 7. Yes, there'll be some Scripture on the screen, but can I encourage you to get your phone out, your Bible. Ro's got a real Bible. Has anyone else got a real Bible here? Okay, no way, look at this. We are outdoing ourselves. But grab out your Bible, grab out your Bible app, whatever you got. It'll be good to have it with you, in front of you as well today. Last week, if you were with us, and unfortunately the recording didn't work, so I tried to catch up on our podcast, but it wasn't available. But Keith started this back end of chapter 7, where there are three warnings given. So Jesus, in his sermon, has unpacked this whole way to do life in the reality of the kingdom of God, in understanding what it is, understanding how to be, what to do, how to do it. And then he gives three warnings. And the warning that Keith unpacked last week was that there's a warning, there's two roads, there's two paths you can go on. And one of them, it seems to be wide and leads to destruction because it is self-centeredness. But the other road seems to be narrow, and the narrowness of the road is to do with being obedient to the things that Jesus just has been talking about. And not everyone is willing to be obedient to Jesus. That's what makes it narrow. And then today we're going to look at the next warning, which is around false prophets. And then next week, the third warning is about how people can be associated with Jesus and the church but not really know him. And so Jesus gives these three warnings at the back end of his Sermon on the Mount that we need to pay attention to. So today, the second warning starts like this. This is Matthew 7, starting in verse 15. I'm reading from the NLT translation. It says, "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown in the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions." He starts with beware. I play a bit of golf. There's a course I play on the Central Coast that has this sign quite often around the golf course. So normally when I hit the ball playing golf, it goes so straight and so long. Matt, you can attest to this. But occasionally the ball will go off the fairway into what's called the rough or the bush. And then you go to look for it and you see this sign. And you go, yeah, is that golf ball really worth it? Will I take the risk? And occasionally you do for a little bit, but you're wary. You're wary of what you might find. But not everyone plays golf, but maybe everyone has seen this sign. At some point, you go to visit someone's house, beware of the dog. And particularly if there's a yard you can't see into and this is on the gate, most of us will just take a moment to go, okay, do I want to step in? What am I going to encounter? What do I need to be looking for, listening for? And your senses are heightened because you go, I'm not sure what's going to be behind this fence, behind this gate. Watch out, beware, be on the lookout. This is the second warning that Jesus is talking about. And it's a warning against those who have the potential to mislead us in our pursuit of living in the reality of the kingdom of God. It's a warning against voices, against people who have the ability to mislead us, lead us astray, tell us something that is not true and accurate. So as we look at the passage again, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. Jesus warns that there are people around. He calls them false prophets. They might look good. They might sound good. They might be popular. But inwardly, and Jesus has dealt with the inward condition of our heart right through this sermon. Remember, he says, you know, there's a command, do not commit adultery. But I say, if you even think lustfully about someone. There's a command, do not commit murder, but if you even get angry. So he always kept bringing it back to the heart issue, the inner character. And so when we look at this idea of false prophets, these people might look good, sound good, be popular, but in their heart, where the real action is taking place, because Jesus has led us to understand that, they're not led by Jesus, but they're led by their own desires. And those desires might be desires for fame and popularity and power and influence and money. There could be a whole bunch of reasons that someone is pursuing this. But they are selfish desires. They're not Jesus-shaped desires. So on the outside, they may appear to be sheep. I can't think of too many animals that are more docile and placid than sheep. And Jesus is speaking to a community of people who would understand this picture. They appear to be sheep, but on the inside, they're more like wolves, wanting to use the sheep for their own purposes. You can nearly sum it up that actions speak louder than words, I think is what Jesus is getting at to some point here. Now, the naming of false prophets, he said, beware of false prophets. Needs a bit of context for us to bring some relevance to it. So, prophets, back in Jesus' time, in what we call the Old Testament, right up to when Jesus was around, a prophet was someone who spoke the words of God. Quite often were empowered by God's Spirit to bring a message. So when we read books of the Bible like Jeremiah and Daniel and Ezekiel and Amos, these guys are prophets. They had something to say, and it was something from God for God's people. So prophets speak the word of God. They speak on behalf of God. So in our context today, if we look at this passage from two other translations, in the Amplified it says, beware of the false prophets, that is the teachers, who come to you dressed as sheep, appearing gentle and innocent, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And Eugene Peterson, in the paraphrase, the Message, says, be wary of false preachers who smile a lot, dripping with practiced sincerity. Chances are they are out to rip you off in some way or other. So our context is, when we read false prophets, we're talking about preachers, teachers. Someone who's doing something like I'm doing now. And I remember hearing a sermon on this from John Mark Comer, and he said, I understand the irony of me standing up and saying this while I'm talking about be careful of false preachers, false prophets. A wolf in sheep's clothing. They're hard to spot if they do it well. False prophets or teachers or preachers usually look like devoted followers of Jesus. That's how they present. They can be leading churches. They can be having influence on blogs and videos and YouTube and podcasts and all that sort of stuff. That's what today we engage with. Isn't it funny when you, I know for me, I watch a bit of YouTube, and the algorithm that works behind the scenes in YouTube, that if you watch a video of something, the next suggested video will be of a similar topic. And if you watch that one, the next suggested video will be very much of that topic. And so the more we watch or listen to something in today's world, particularly through things like podcasts and YouTube and things like that, the more we watch, the more of that type of content will be offered to us. So we've got to be careful. We've got to be discerning. We have a warning from Jesus. Be careful, beware, be on the lookout for false prophets, false preachers, false teachers. If you look at the New Testament, the bulk of the writing from the New Testament comes from three people. Comes from, actually Luke does a fair bit, but he's one of the gospel writers. Paul, Peter and John write a fair bit of the New Testament. Each of them speak to this, and I just want to have one example from each of them that we can pay attention to. So Paul's writing to Timothy, his protege, a young pastor, and he says this to Timothy. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. If that is not happening today, then I don't know what is. And again, going down a rabbit hole in something like YouTube, you can land in this place really easily. Peter says this. He says, but there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who bought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. And because of these teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money. If that's not happening today, I don't know what is. How often do we hear about a fall from grace for some Christian leader, Christian teacher, Christian preacher? So Peter has that warning. John has this warning. I want to use the Message paraphrase for this. He says, dear friends, don't believe everything you hear. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. There are a lot of lying preachers loose in the world. Whew. I've said to many of you, I think I've probably said it standing here in the past, that I get really nervous every time I have to do this. Really nervous. I get told by my daughters to wear a dark shirt so you can't see me sweating. Hence the black. And yes, I'm sweating. And the nervousness isn't from public speaking. I can do that. It's from what I'm speaking about. I know there are people who sit in rooms like this who will just take it as gospel truth, whatever somebody is up here saying. They won't think about it too much. They'll just assume it's absolutely right and accurate and true. And I feel the weight of that. I don't want to be up here saying something that's not accurate. I don't want to be saying something that leads you astray. And I would not do that intentionally, but I know I'm not perfect. and I don't understand everything completely, and I get really nervous about doing this because there's a weight, there's a gravity to it. I don't want to lead someone astray. And then I read a passage in Scripture that says those who teach will be judged more harshly because of the ability they have to influence people. I've never wanted to do this. Honestly. I never wanted to. Yeah, thanks, Claire, but I've never wanted to do this for that reason. Because I've been sitting in seats and having someone on the stage say stuff, and I've just lapped it up without even thinking about it. And that's part of the problem that Jesus is getting at today, that we have a tendency to do that. We have a tendency to hear something and just take it on. We need to examine what we are listening to by the Word of God. I would encourage you, no matter who stands on this platform and speaks, that you go back and you look at, does it align with the truth in the Word of God? Don't just take it as gospel truth because there's someone up there that you trust who's speaking. There are a lot of lying preachers loose in the world. So how do we tell a true prophet from a false prophet? How do we tell that? When we purchase something from the shop, I think most of us have a bit of a radar out. Are we buying something that's genuine or are we buying a fake? And if you travel overseas to some of the Southeast Asian countries, you know that in some of the markets you go to, you are buying fakes, imitations. And quite often you're okay with that because it's really cheap. Do you know that there are people in our financial institutions and in our law enforcement who are trained to study our currency really carefully? Because when you know what our currency truly looks like, you can detect the counterfeit. Let's see how we go with that. Is this a real $5 bill or not? I wish it was real, says Gaz. Okay. That one's a fake, obviously. What about this one, though? Is that real? Why not? Why? Yeah, it says currency.com across the bottom. The rest of it looks pretty accurate. This one's a bit harder. Is this one real? Real or fake? Looks real, but is it? Now you're sitting there going, oh man, I don't use cash too much these days. I'm not really sure what they look like. That's a real one. But there was doubt, and I didn't put up the green ones because I go, whoever has green ones? Like, none of us would know. But it's just interesting that something that can be pretty familiar to us, when we are asked to stop and think, we go, oh, I'm not really sure. Is it real? Is it accurate? Is it true? I'm struck to, oh, what should I actually be looking for? I sort of see it all the time, but I don't take notice of it. And we can be a bit like that with the stuff that we hear. I'm hearing stuff all the time, but I'm not discerning. I'm not thinking about it. I'm not checking. In the Old Testament, I was reading an article about this from N.T. Wright, Tom Wright, and he said, in the Old Testament, the test whether someone was a true or false prophet was just wait and see. Just wait and see. They're speaking something. Is that true and accurate? And it might take time for us to determine whether it's true and accurate. So let's not get confused that the prophets are about foretelling the future. Prophets are about speaking the word of God. Jesus is suggesting that the way we can test whether someone or not is a true or false prophet is to look for fruit. Now, that's a really good example because I think we can make sense of that. If I go and look at a tree, an apple tree, and there are no apples on it, and it's just standing alone, I would have no idea it's an apple tree. Again, looking at this a little bit, there are ways to do that. People can be, you know, you can look at the bark and the shape of the canopy and the shape of the leaves. All those things are giveaways. But that's an apple tree if you look closely and you know those things. I don't know those things. But if there's an apple hanging off it, I'm going, that's an apple tree. Okay, I can do that bit. If there's a lemon hanging off it, I know it's a lemon tree. And apparently urinating on citrus trees is good for them. Heard that somewhere. I think it was from this platform one day. Dan Widdowson, I reckon. Yeah? Yeah, possibly. Jesus is saying we need to look for fruit. If I look at this same passage again from the Amplified Version, it says this. Jesus says, by their fruit you will recognize them. That is, by their contrived doctrine and self-focus. Therefore, by their fruit you will recognize them as false prophets. And what he's pointing out here is their character. As we start to look at someone's character, that will reveal whether we can trust them as they speak the word of God or not. As we are unfortunately exposed to a bunch of stories about Christian leaders who have fallen from grace, what we often hear when we read or listen to those stories is that behind the scenes, their character was not pleasant at all. Up front on the platform, they were a charismatic, Bible-bashing preacher that everyone seemed to love, but behind closed doors, they were manipulative and angry and ill-tempered and nasty and vengeful. These are some of the stories that are coming out in our context. Character is what we're looking for. Jesus is suggesting that the way we can test whether someone is true or false prophet is to look at their life. Who are they behind closed doors? Now, we don't always get to do that with people who are in this position, but some people get to see that. I remember listening to a sermon and the preacher was saying that he was nervous to become a pastor he was nervous to have children because he felt that as a pastor you needed your children to be, you know, on board and really well behaved and that sort of thing. And he asked a bunch of people, you know, what do I do in this space? And the advice he got given over and over and over was, the one thing that possibly turns pastors' kids away from following the faith is hypocrisy. That the person they see at home is not the same person they see on the stage. Again, nervous to be in that position. So we're not talking about charisma. We're not talking about miracles and healings and wonders and all that sort of stuff. We're talking about integrity and humility and love. And he probably would never mention it, but Keith, who spoke last week, has just written a new book for pastors, and he's saying that the thing that churches need to get right when they're appointing a pastor is that they are a person who has deep character and loves people well. That's the main thing that's needed for a pastor in a church. Not eloquent speaking, not ability to cast vision, not ability to do fundraising projects, not ability to do all these things, but someone who has deep character, humility, integrity, and loves people. That's the stuff we're looking for. So Peterson, as he addresses that in today's passage, he says this, don't be impressed with charisma. Look for character. Who preachers are is the main thing, not what they say. A genuine leader will never exploit your emotions or your pocketbook or your wallet. So it's a warning. Jesus is finishing his Sermon on the Mount and he's saying there's a way to live in the reality of the kingdom of God. There are things to take notice of, there are things to do, there are ways to be. But on the journey, just be careful. Keep your eye out for people who will be teaching and bringing influence in this area. And just take note of them. Take note of their character. And if you discover their character is good, then pay attention to them. But if you discover their character is not great, then be very careful what you listen to. This is a warning. It doesn't seem to come with a solution. It's just a warning. Beware. Be careful. Be on the lookout. Watch out. So my hope that as we've explored this today is that just as a community of people, we can just be more diligent to be discerning with what we listen to, with what we hear. And a lot of what is out there is really good, encouraging, biblical, true stuff. But there's a whole bunch that's not. And how do you know the difference? I came up with three things as I'm asking myself that question. Three things I want to do. Ask these questions. Am I being nourished by their teaching? Does it align with the character and the nature of Jesus? Are the fruits of the Spirit evident in the person that I'm listening to? And as I'm listening to what's being said, is it drawing me into the person of Jesus? They're just three little things I thought of that I want to use as a bit of a framework as I listen to preachers and teachers, which I do a fair bit, often listening to podcasts and sermons and a whole bunch of other stuff. Let us encourage one another in this space. Let us not be judgmental. Jesus already dealt with that idea of judging. But let us just be discerning. Let us be wise. Let us help one another in that. Let me pray for you as we consider that together. Jesus, I thank you for your wisdom that you give us in your teaching, that we have in your written word. I thank you for your Spirit that you have sent to be with us, and one role of your Spirit is to help lead us into what is true and to remind us of the things you have said. And so as we are exposed to a whole bunch of teaching in the world that we live in today, would you give us the ability to discern? Would you give us the ability to hold things fairly lightly when they're coming from the mouth of a person, and then bring those things to your written word, encouraged by your Spirit to discern truth or not truth. Let us share that with one another. Let us encourage one another in that. And let us be a community who are just passionate about following you closely, because you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. And that's the position we want to be in as individuals, as families, as community, is to be following you. Would you help us in that?